Hi there, my name's Jonathan Leeming, and welcome to One World Conversations. Chapter 4, Units and Systems. Introduction. It is human nature to look at something as an isolated unit that either we or someone else owns. It is how we've built our economies over the past centuries. It is almost unimaginable that an object or thing, natural or unnatural, is not owned or controlled by either a private person, an organization, or government. This dogma of ownership compartmentalizes the environment into what can be considered as isolated building blocks. Each block is owned by someone, which in turn implies responsibility. Inversely, however, a lack of ownership implies a mandate for exploitation and abuse, which becomes no one's responsibility, rather than everyone's responsibility. The ideology of ownership is a recent man-made invention that would have been foreign to many pre-agricultural cultures around the world. People such as the San people of Southern Africa, the Aztecs of Mexico, and the Native Americans and the Pygmies of the Democratic Republic of Congo all shared a deep understanding of the relationship between themselves and the environment. These cultures shared a very different view of the world, as they considered the environment as belonging to no one and belonging to everyone at the same time. Ethnobiologist Paul Cox said, "I've worked with indigenous people on all continents but Antarctica, and one thing they all agree on is the earth is sacred. We're the only ones who look at it as a commodity." The Native Americans are sometimes noted for having strong environmental ideologies. Sitting Bull said, "Every seed is awakened, and so is all animal life. It is through this mysterious power that we too have our being, and we therefore yield to our animal neighbors the same rights as ourselves to inhabit this land." These early people lived in close relationship with the environment. They held a direct understanding regarding how they utilized resources, taking only what they needed to survive. They celebrated the rains, animal migrations, the changing of the seasons. Today, the granularity at which we view the environment, together with the concept of ownership, has resulted in a very different consideration of how the world operates. Author of a Sand County Almanac, Aldo Leopold writes, "We abuse land because we regard it as a commodity belonging to us. When we see land as community to which we belong, we may begin to use it with love and respect." Consider a common item such as a pen. After we use it and the ink runs out, it has no further use to us, so we throw it away. The used pen is dumped into a landfill to be forever forgotten. It may seem odd to think that a pen is a part of an interconnected system, and that its existence has an influence on other aspects of that system. But it does. There are many items just like the pen which we own. Our cell phone, shirt, watch, jewelry, and underpants will be all discarded at the end of their usefulness. Unlike a pen, there is no waste in nature. When one thing dies or its primary function is no longer valid, it becomes useful for something else. There is no natural process that produces a resource that is not utilized by another process. The greater sum of all these processes is the what, the how, and the why of life on Earth. An example of this idea is that grass grows using nutrients from the soil, water from the rain, and energy from sunshine. An elephant wanders along and eats the grass. The grass is processed through the elephant's digestive system and is deposited as a giant ball of dung in the African savanna. Elephant turds are highly prized and sought after by dung beetles. Many species of dung beetle roll the dung into a ball, lay a single egg on it, and bury it in the ground. The dung beetle larva hatches and feasts upon the dung before pupating into the adult stage. What the larva does not consume returns as nutrients to the soil, which allows the grass to grow, which in turn provides food for the elephant. This model follows sustainable principles. Everything is part of a process that begins and ends with another process. It may seem like a simplistic cycle, but we have to remember that the grass, elephant, and dung beetle are part of other cycles. The elephant pushes down trees, drinks water, and provides habitat for countless parasites. The dung beetle is food for many animals and is an important part of nutrient recycling. The grass binds the soil, prevents erosion, absorbs carbon dioxide, emits oxygen, and provides food and shelter for other animals. In turn, each of these components are part of further cycles. Removing one component out of this system creates a knock-on effect that will influence countless other systems. It is a complex arrangement of non-linear relationships that we are only beginning to understand. Now scroll down and let's get the conversation started.